Hello and welcome to the Africa Today podcast from the BBC at 15:30 GMT on Thursday, the 6th of May. I'm Peter Ndoro. In this special edition of the pod, President Umaru Yar'Adua is dead. What next for Nigeria?
We are breaking the ongoing program to bring you a breaking news. The President and Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, Alhaji Umaru Musa Yar'Adua, died a few hours ago in the presidential villa.
That was how Nigerians learnt of the death of President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua late last evening. Today, the country begins 7 days of mourning, and heads of state across the world have been giving their reactions to President Yar'Adua's death. The American President Barack Obama sent a condolence message remembering President Yar'Adua's profound personal decency and integrity, his deep commitment to public service, and his passionate belief in the vast potential and bright future of Nigeria's people. Well, in Africa, presidents and prime ministers, as well as leaders of regional groupings, have been remembering him. On the fringes of the World Economic Forum in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania's President Jakaya Kikwete said that his death was a big loss for Nigeria.
It's very sad. It's tragic. It's tragic. He's so young. He died too early. We joined the people of Nigeria in mourning his death. Nigeria is strong enough. They weather the storm.
President Jakaya Kikwete of Tanzania. Also speaking in Dar es Salaam, the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, Meles Zenawi, gave his reaction to the news.
It's a very tragic thing. I'm really shocked and very sad that this has happened. He's a very nice person.
Prime Minister Meles Zenawi. The President of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, said that Mr. Yar'Adua's death was unexpected.
It's a very, very sorry event, and I'm terribly sorry about it. We didn't think that it will come to this. We thought he was recovering, actually. But we are very sorry.
President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, the former head of the West African grouping ECOWAS, Mohamed Ibn Chambers, has also been talking about President Yar'Adua and his recollection of him.
Naturally, my sympathies go out to his family, his wife and children, immediate family, and of course to the President of the Federal Republic and the people of Nigeria who are in a period of mourning. I personally recall the privilege and the honor that I had working with him closely as chairman of ECOWAS in my period in Abuja as president of the ECOWAS Commission. And when he served as the chairman of ECOWAS, I just recall him as a very decent man, truly committed to the spread of democracy in our region, the consolidation of democratic governance, the passion with which he approached the issue of standing firm against coup d'etats, be it military coup d'etat in Guinea or constitutional coup d'etats, as was the case in Niger.
Mohamed Ibn Chambers, who is now the Secretary General of the Africa, Caribbean and Pacific Group. President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua was laid to rest in his home state of Katsina this afternoon. Two former Nigerian heads of state attended, together with leading politicians from across the country and thousands of mourners. Mr. Yar'Adua, who was 58, died late last night at his villa after a long illness. Katsina State Governor Ibrahim Shehu Shema is one of those who expressed his loss.
This is a day of great loss for all of us. For me personally, it is a personal loss. I lost a mentor and a father, and so do the people of Katsina State and the people of Nigeria. Malam Umaru was a true nationalistic figure. Malam Umaru lived a decent life, lived an honorable life, and was interested deeply in Nigeria and its progress and its people. It is a sore loss to all of us. May Allah give him Al-Jannah al-Firdaus. May his soul rest in perfect peace.
People on the streets of Katsina shared Governor Shehu Shema's sadness.
As Katsina man, I will tell you, we are terribly sad and we felt deeply bad about the passage of our dear President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua, but we can only pray for the repose of his great soul.
I was very sad about his death.
Yesterday night around 12:30, one of my friends found me, say our president dead. Very unfortunate, from that time, I never slept up to now, because we really lost our father and our brother. We only pray, may God give him paradise.
The BBC's Abdullahi Kaura Abubakar attended the funeral ceremony in Katsina. Sophie Kenya spoke to him just before the funeral began.
We are right now at the Katsina Township Stadium, very close to the Yar'Adua's family home, where his corpse is supposed to be brought to for the funeral service. Quite a lot of dignitaries are gathered here awaiting the arrival of the corpse. There are two former military heads of state, Ibrahim Babangida and Muhammadu Buhari, a federal government delegation led by the Speaker of House of Representatives, PDP stalwarts, who are all here waiting for the corpse to arrive for the funeral ceremony to begin.
Can you now just describe for us what's going to happen this afternoon at the burial ceremony?
As soon as the corpse arrives, there will be the funeral prayers, after which the corpse will be taken to the Marina Cemetery, where it will be finally buried.
And Chris, what's the mood like there?
Well, the mood here is that of sober reflection. Most of the businesses here have closed down, and people are trooping into the stadium to be part of this ceremony. People are here lamenting the situation, remembering what the president used to be to them and all that.
Abdullahi Kaura Abubakar reporting from Katsina. Mr. Yar'Adua was dogged by ill health even before he took office, and this made it difficult for him to assert his authority in government. From Abuja, Chris Ewoko reports on his career.
The 58-year-old Mr. Yar'Adua fought a prolonged battle with a debilitating heart disease before dying last night with his wife at his bedside. There were constant worries about his health, and even during the election campaign that swept him to power in 2007, there were rumors that he had died. Then, he was rushed to a hospital in Germany, where he was treated for a kidney ailment. Last November, Mr. Yar'Adua was hospitalized in Saudi Arabia with a heart condition. He was out of Nigeria for 3 months and faced mounting pressure to step down. His return in February was shrouded in secrecy, and he was never again seen in public. Few Nigerians would have predicted that Mr. Yar'Adua, a governor of the remote northern Katsina state, would become president before his nomination by the ruling People's Democratic Party, or PDP, for the 2007 election. He was allegedly plucked from obscurity by his predecessor, Olusegun Obasanjo, as the party's candidate. With his electoral victory marred by allegations of fraud, his first year in office was undermined by court battles intended to overturn the result. Mr. Yar'Adua's detractors dubbed him Baba Go Slow for his alleged failure to act swiftly to fulfill his electoral promises, including his pledge to revamp power generation in Nigeria. His notable achievement was an amnesty for militants in the oil-producing Niger Delta, where years of sabotage has slashed Nigeria's oil output. Mr. Yar'Adua was born in Katsina on August 16, 1951. He began his professional life as a chemistry teacher before going into business. He was elected Katsina governor in 1999 and re-elected in 2003. He had 9 children from 2 marriages.
The BBC's Chris Ewoko reporting from Abuja. In the meantime, the acting president, Goodluck Jonathan, was sworn in as head of state today under the terms of the Constitution. Government ministers, state governors and ambassadors watched as Mr. Jonathan took the oath of office at a ceremony at the presidential villa in Abuja.
Goodluck Ebele Jonathan, do solemnly swear and affirm that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
So Mr. Jonathan will lead Nigeria until the elections due between January and April next year. How are the people in the commercial capital Lagos looking forward to his rule?
For me, it was a big relief. I was like, oh God, now Nigeria can move forward. At least now we know that we are moving, because now we are going to know our president, and sure, things should be better than before.
I hope Nigerians wake up to know that we need a good president, someone who is capable to take care of the country, someone who would make promises and stand on his word, not someone that would waste our money on a life support like our old president. So I think good luck, to some extent, he's been trying his best, and he could still do more if he's given an opportunity.
The acting president should toe the line of the former president, as it has to do with trying to establish peace in all the volatile areas. Nigeria, we need to come together.
In the next couple of weeks, we'll see what the new president can do, and whether most of the reforms they're trying to take will be fully implemented. And that's what I'm waiting for myself, what happens to the country as a whole.
Some voices of ordinary Nigerians in Lagos. But what challenges lie ahead for Mr. Jonathan? Sophie Kenya put that question to veteran journalist Shola Odunfa in Lagos.
I believe stabilizing himself politically will take center stage in the next month or two. It is during this period that he will nominate his vice president, and this will take some tough negotiation with the various power blocks. And it is only during that period that he can fully reconcile himself with the northern politicians who are very, very suspicious of him.
And what can President Goodluck Jonathan really achieve in this very short period at the helm?
I think he will have to concentrate on two key issues which he himself has identified over the period, and these are electoral reform and restoration of power. The economy is virtually comatose now because of the lack of electricity. And the major concern of everybody now, wherever they are, is the coming elections. So electoral reform, so that people can be sure that when they are called upon to come to the voting station, their votes can count. So those are the two issues, electoral reform and restoration of power.
Is the Delta region a challenge at all for him?
It is a challenge because, apart from the fact that he is a Deltan himself, the economic wealth of the country, the economic health of the country, depends largely on the Niger Delta. If there is trouble in the Niger Delta anymore, crude oil receipts will fall, the economy will sink deeper, and there will be trouble all over the place. And if the resurgence starts, it will be more difficult to stop now than it was 2 years ago.
How about the Nigerian arrangement of the North and South taking turns in leadership? Does it stand?
We all thought it stood until a few days ago when the former president Obasanjo said in the United States that there was no such agreement. But everybody has been telling Jonathan that he will be well advised to respect that agreement or renegotiate if he wants to rule in peace.
Journalist Shola Odunfa in Lagos. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for downloading the Africa Today podcast from the BBC, recorded weekdays at 15:30 GMT. You can also listen to our programs at bbcworldservice.com/Africa. I'm Peter Ndoro. Until the next time, goodbye.